I would like to this morning just share with you a sermon. I think I told some of you this already. Ella Boffman wrote this sermon. Do you remember Ella Boffman? She used to worship here. And Ella, of course, is in Mountain Laurel Rehabilitation Center. And I went in to visit her this past week in a nursing home. And when I was there, I read her the Christmas story. And after I'd read the Christmas story to her, I said to this dear, dear saint who has been in church for about 1 million years growing up. She's not quite that old. But I said to her, I said, "Had you ever heard that before, Ella?" And she laughed out loud. She said, "Many, many times." And then I said to her, "Ella, can I please pray with you?" And she said, "That would be great." And I said, "What do you want me to pray for?" And Ella replied, she said, and I have it written here, "Pray that I'll get some of my strength back. Pray for my family, that they will all be well. And pray that my family will remember the Lord. Pray that every family will remember the Lord." And I said, "Oh, I love that last sentence. Pray that everyone will remember the Lord this Christmas." Isn't that the prayer of anyone's heart who knows Jesus personally and comes into the Christmas season? The prayer of my heart is that all of us will remember the Lord. That's why we're here. And chances are, if you're showing up in church on a Christmas morning, you're remembering the Lord. I just want to look at some examples of individuals in Scripture who remembered the Lord, see how they did it, and then see how we can do it throughout our lives. And I just have four of them today. The first one is the shepherds. You just think about the shepherds. How did the shepherds remember the Lord? You know, after the angels, after they decided, let's go to Bethlehem, after they're there and they see this little baby, then the Scripture says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now think about that again. Glorifying and praising God. That's how they remembered the Lord. And they told everyone what they had seen. That's a good way to remember the Lord. You know, if you're one of those 11 people that put up your hand on December 18th, or if you did it back in 1997, or if you did it in 67, you have encountered Jesus personally. He was there that day, that night, and you met Him. And now your response to that can be a response of glorifying and praising God and letting people know, "Yeah, I met Jesus. I opened my heart and received Him, and He's making a difference in my life." That's the shepherds. That's how they remember the Lord. And that's how Ella and I would have you remember the Lord. Here's the second way that I see people remembering the Lord. It would be the wise men or the magi. You know, they came and they're looking or following this star. And as they're following along, Herod calls them and says, "Hey, tell me about this baby." And they're smart enough. They go in and they see the baby. And the Scripture says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And you think about that. They worshipped him. That's how I want to remember the Lord. I want to worship him. And worship means giving attention to, giving focus to, and saying how great they are. You see people worshiping things all the time. You know, the next time that you're with a sweet grandma, you know, and she says, "Can I show you the pictures of my grandchildren?" You know, and she opens that book. Understand, in just a very small and probably an appropriate way, she's worshiping those kids. You know, she's saying, "I love these things. They are so wonderful. And I want to show everyone how neat they are." What a very grand way we need to do that to God. "I love this God. And He has been so good to me. And in times of sorrow and heartache, He has always been there. And I could just cry out to Jesus. He heard me and He helped me. And in times of joy and of celebration, He's there. And I've been able to say, 'Hey, God, this is so good to have you here.' He's always there." That is worship to Him. That is what just about every worship song you've ever sung does. It says how great God is. Gloria in excelsis Deo means glory in the highest. God is deserving of praise, not just where I live, but in the steeples and in the heavens and in the highest places. God deserves all the glory. That's worship. And that is how the Magi remembered the Lord. They poured out what they had for him in worship. And that's how you and I can remember the Lord. What about the third one? Let's think about Mary. How did Mary remember the Lord? Well, one of the most intriguing verses about the Christmas story, to my way of thinking, is, you know, when the shepherds come in, it's kind of like a fanfare thing. They got to be psyched because they're still on the adrenaline high from seeing the glory of the Lord shine around about them. And when I spoke to you a few weeks ago about that during Advent here, I kind of compared that to a lot of different things, Niagara Falls and everything else. That would really get you pumped up. That would really get you going, you know? And so here these shepherds are. They're on the adrenaline high. They come in, and then they go out and they say, "Wow, I just saw the coolest thing," and they're all wound up. Well, then you have Mary. And it says, and it's a direct contrast to what the shepherds did, because it says in Luke 2:19, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Are there things you treasure up and ponder in your heart? I told you before about the sack I have. It's a sack of memories, you know. It's not a real sack, but in my brain I have this kind of thing where when something neat happens, I put it in there and I say, "That's a memory I never want to forget," you know. One of my favorites that I treasure is when I was in fourth grade and my parents and I went out west and did that whirlwind tour. I'll never forget the first thing of any significance we saw was the Mitchell Corn Palace. How many have been to the Mitchell Corn Palace? What in the world did we stop at that for, huh? My dad blew a whole roll of film on that. You know? I treasure that memory. Another memory I treasure, and oh my goodness, my daughter Esther, I usually ask permission before I use her as a sermon illustration. Hey, it's Christmas, she's got to forgive me, right? She was just a little girl and she went to bed and she prayed, "God, please, when I wake up, make me a grown up." I treasure that memory. When she got up in the morning, Esther was mad. She was mad at God, you know? And I said, "Honey, don't be mad at God. Be mad at me because I prayed that He'd keep you little." Right? Wow. I treasure that memory. That's what Mary's doing. Mary is opening up the little bag that's in her life. She's putting in the memories of the shepherds coming. She's treasuring it and saying, "This is really significant." Not just as a mom treasuring this about her baby, but she knows this kid, this child, is no ordinary child. The angels announced his birth. So she's treasuring that. And she's pondering it. What does that mean to ponder something? You know, I don't ponder a lot of things. Well, maybe I do. I think to ponder something means to give some serious consideration and thought to the meaning of something. You know, I'm pondering the meaning of life. Every now and then you bump into someone who's doing that. You know, you want to say, "Shouldn't you be out on a ledge somewhere?" Yeah. Or I can remember when I was dating my wife, when she would say things and I'd be on the way home, I would just run over all the conversation all the way home. I'd ponder, what did she mean when she said that, you know? What does that mean? Why did she say this? And I'm still trying to figure those things out. You know, Mary, when she was pondering these events, she's thinking, what does this mean? What's it going to be like to be the mom to the Son of the Most High God? And you know, in a short time, someone is going to say to her, "A sword will pierce your soul." She knows that it's pretty significant what God has in mind for her in the future. She remembered the Lord that night. I want to do that. Ella wants us to do that. God wants you to do that. I want you to do that. I want you to treasure the good things that God has done in your life and hold them in a sack with a drawstring so they're there when you need them. You can get them out and say, I remember your faithfulness, God. I remember your love. And I want you to ponder what's happening in your life today. Not to say, God, why are you doing this? But God, how can I grow through this? And how will you be glorified through this? Help me understand this. That's how you remember the Lord. Let's look at one more, okay? Nah, let's not. Let's go home. It's Christmas. Let's just think about how we're pondering, how we're remembering the Lord this holiday season. And let's make it our purpose to praise Him for the good things He's done. And let's make it our purpose to worship Him for who He is and for what He did. You understand, if God had never sent His Son, if Jesus had never come out of the ivory palaces down to earth, if He'd never done that and never redeemed us, He still would be worthy of our praise and our worship just because He's God. Period. Just because He's God. But beyond that, He did leave the ivory palaces. He did come into the world of woe. And He did die for your sins. How much more does this God deserve your worship? So let's remember Him by worshiping. And let's remember Him by being part of what He's doing. Thinking about what's going on in our lives and how God can use that to show His grace and His love and who He is to other people. I'm hoping that I never have opportunity to lay in a nursing home. I'm hoping that that doesn't come across my path. I'm hoping for the rapture instead. But if it does come across my path, and I'm lying there, lying or laying, I need an English teacher to help me out sometimes. I'm reclining. How's that? And while I'm there, I'm hoping that if some pastor comes and says, how can I pray for you, Steve? That I will have the sense and the grace to say, pray for everybody, Steve. Pray for everyone that they will remember the Lord. I want to pray that for you. And then I want us to sing. And then I want us to go. So let's stand together, if you would. And if you would just bow your head, I would like to just pray that Christmas prayer for you. And if the musicians would come as we pray. Father in heaven, how could we forget you? You have done so much for us. You have been so much to us. You have given such grace to us. And yet our world is filled with so many distractions, so many things that turn our heads and sometimes turn our hearts away from making you the focus. When that happens, please forgive us. And today we choose on this Christmas day, as we remember Jesus' birth, we choose to remember you, Lord, throughout our lives. Make our lives lives where you are central. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be willing to and make it our practice to praise you for the things you have done. And may the people we work with just see our hearts of praise through the way we talk and the things we do. Help us to worship you, God, for who you are. And not to worship sports and stuff and family and all the other things that can be good in our life, but never deserve to have us bow our knee to them. Why is it, God, that the stuff of earth competes for the allegiance that we owe only to the giver of all good things? We give you our worship and bow our knees to you alone. Help us to treasure the things you do in our life and hold those close to our heart. And help us to give thought to the things you're doing in our life, to ponder them in a way that doesn't say, oh, God, what are you doing now? But rather in a way that says, oh, God, what are you doing and how? How can I be part of what you're doing? You desire to change hearts and lives. And for some reason that is just so wonderful, you've chosen to include us in doing that. And so help us to be your servants in that capacity. It's a prayer of our heart. It's the desire of our life to serve you. May it be so in Christ's name. Amen.